Warning, warning, warning. This content may be sensitive to some. If you feel the need to leave, it is completely understandable. Content may contain examples of death, suicide, sexual content, and other shit we don't know what we're going to get into. This is not to offend anyone or upset anyone on purpose. This isn't your typical Deputy Dane. So listen at your own risk, sit back, and enjoy. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Deputy Dane Morning Show. I appreciate all y'all for being here. We got some stuff to get into. I really don't know what we're going to get into, but we'll get into something. Sit back. Oh, yep. There's the sirens. I think we're all going to be detained. Sit back and enjoy the show. Good morning, everybody. Hopefully, everybody's had a great week. Again, Halloween's right around the corner. This whole weekend we've done a haunted house, to raise money for Shop of the Cop. It's actually been extremely successful. It's been a lot of fun, just to get out in the community and do everything. It's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun. Hold on 1 second. All right. Like I was saying, sorry, I had to check something. Like I was saying, it's been a fun weekend. Got to go in, scare some people. There were some kids in there that were pretty terrifying, playing with toys and tossing stuff back. And when you'd walk by, they'd ask, "Do you want to come play with us?" So I was at the very beginning. I was a grave digger. And then I ended up taking a shovel and just dragging it behind the people, which from what I hear is extremely loud, but I was wearing a mask, so I don't know. And then during one of our breaks, we had a little downtime between things. This is the first year we're doing it, so it wasn't nonstop. So as we're taking a break, one of the little girls comes up to me. There's three of them, but one of them is sitting there with them. They go, "Are you the shovel guy?" I was like, "Well, yeah." And she goes, "I just want you to know you're scaring the scarers." I was like, "Oh, my bad." And then some other people were like, "Yeah, dude, that's loud as hell. It's louder than the chainsaw." I don't think it was louder than Chainsaw, but that's what they said. But either way, it was a lot of fun. It was a great time. It's for a good cause. At the same time, I think we're going to keep doing it every year. This is a good starting point for us to try it, see how it went. Our deputies association, the president, came up with the idea. We normally do little things here and there, but our new president of the association has done a lot for the agency and has done a lot for our association, which that's what we use the money to raise for the kids and everything like that, and do other things to kind of help the community when we can. But yeah, it was awesome. It was a good deal. Great idea. The president has put a lot of work into it this month, and man, it paid off. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to doing it more. Besides that, we've had some crazy things going on in our area. We've had, in one of the towns outside of our county, there's been gang violence going on. There's been, there's the Native tribe gang, and then there's a black gang, and they're fighting back and forth. There's been stabbings, there's been shootings, there's been a lot. So they actually had to cancel their town's, event. They do an event every year. They had to cancel it just because of the amount of violence going on. It's wild. And all the violence stems from the McGirt ruling. And if you're not familiar with the McGirt ruling, I can break it down in kind of simple terms without having to go through the Eastern District of Oklahoma has announced. I'm not going to do that. So pretty much what it states is, if you're not familiar with Oklahoma, Oklahoma is where the Trail of Tears ended. We ended up moving a lot of tribes to Oklahoma. In doing so, we told these tribes that your tribe would forever have a reservation in the state. And there was treaties from like 1866 that stated that Oklahoma would not be a state. And then when they did become a state, you could not enforce laws on Indians in a reservation. So that being said, time has gone by. It's changed. The reservation was huge. It takes up, one of the tribes takes up, I don't know, I'd say maybe just under a quarter of the state. And so by the treaty, it states everything within that area of the state belongs to the Muscogee Creek Nation. So that means it's their reservation. Over years, it's kind of gone through the wayside where you could still get, you, it's still, there's parts that are their reservation, but not the whole thing. Well, come 2020, a douchebag by the name of Jimsy McGirt ended up getting several life sentences for lewd acts on a four-year-old. This was not a nice individual. This was not a good fella. This wasn't an outstanding citizen of the native tribe that was doing good by his area, and he's not a pillar of society, let's just say. He's a douchebag, terrible guy. So his argument, which I know it wasn't his argument, I don't think he was smart enough. His attorney's argument was, technically, since he is native and it's on the reservation, Oklahoma never, well, really Congress has to do it. Congress has never taken it to where that's no longer a reservation. So technically, that's still a reservation. So this douchebag ended up fighting with his attorney to overrule everything, and now we have in our state called the McGirt Rule. The McGirt Rule pretty much states anything that happens within these tribal reservations, which these are massive. They're not like a reservation. It's, you know, part of it takes up Tulsa, like a big, big city. Anything that happens within there and someone is native, you have to be dealt with a native officer, which in our state is called Light Horse. Majority of them are Light Horse. Then we have Cherokee Marshals, stuff like that. So when I first got on the road, this was not in effect. They were trying to get it to go in effect, and no one thought it would ever go in effect. They tried to push it for years, saying this stuff. Now, again, this is for a terrible person. It's so that way he could pretty much get off with these charges and get away with it. So it's a sensitive subject in my area. Some people are for it. A lot are realizing it's not good. It's not good because it's not good for the citizens. So we technically, as a state officer, I have to go and get cross-deputized or cross-commissioned with the nation. Now, we have done this. We were cross-commissioned with the nation, and they were with us. But there's a lot of red flags with this that started coming into effect. First of all, like I said, it was never going to go into effect. Never going to go into effect. No one ever thought it would go. Well, then George Floyd happened, and all the riots happened, and all the protests happened, and people thought it was a way to stick it to law enforcement, when really what it has done is affected the communities. So in our area, we were crossed with one of the tribes, and we would send things in, because now we can't fight it in state court. It has to go to federal native court. Okay, so we would turn these in and nothing would happen. So we got to the point where the tribe was releasing people as quick as we were putting them in with no charges. It was a bad deal. Very bad deal. We had three dudes murder a guy in town, and they were going to face a lot of charges through state. McGirt happened, and somehow they got out with all of it. They got 3 years, which is like their maximum, and they're out. They have not done anything positive with their life. One of them is, he was young when he did it. Well, they all were young when they did it. But this one's still in the area. You think having a second chance by getting out, you would do good with your life, and he has not. He has taken it to that level where pretty much he's still just being a turd. His family still makes excuses for him. Take in mind, this guy gunned someone down at a grocery store, walking in the grocery store with his family, and he got gunned down just because he was a different tribe, or a different gang, which one Savage Boys and one was IBH, which is Indian Brotherhood, and got gunned down. And this grandmother still makes excuses for this boy that, oh, he's a good boy. Well, there's someone that's no longer living that would beg to differ. So I know we've kind of gone on a tangent, but we had a lot of issues with McGirt, and I can break down McGirt more if people want to know. It really sucks in our area. I watch a lot of citizens that are native, not even native, anybody. If the suspect is native, nothing happens. And it's a shame. It really is. I have people I've chased over and over and over, and I put them away for a lot of these charges, and they get released. I had a charge a couple of years ago. Two little dickheads were cruising around the area, breaking into stuff. They would steal side-by-sides, ram into someone's garage, steal their side-by-sides, steal all their guns, do a whole bunch of stuff. One was native, and one was white. Now, take in mind, native one is redhead, looks white, but he's part of a tribe. The non-native is in prison. I put him in prison for these charges. The native has gotten out and has done nothing but continued to do these crimes. That's it. That he continues to do these crimes. He shot firearms at people. He takes firearms to places, and he still gets away with it. And when we call the tribe, they're told, oh, there's nothing we can do. It's a shitty situation. I've seen murderers go free. I've seen rapists get their charges pretty much dropped. It's a shitty, shitty situation. It's crazy. But so now the gang violence in this town near us is all stemming from pretty much the people are getting tired of these natives getting away with it. So the native crew, which is the Savage Boys, are still committing crimes. They're stabbing people, they're shooting people, and nothing is happening. And the citizens are getting tired of it. And I do not blame them. There's only so much you can deal with people getting away with it over and over and over, and nothing happened. There are some of the tribes that are very good at prosecuting. There are some of the tribes that do a very good job working with state officials or local officials. It works out. There are a couple tribes that it does not do well at all. And there are people that are getting heinous crimes and they're released. So that being said, this other gang, I don't know if it's Bloods or Crips or which one it is now having shootouts with the native crews because they're fed up. And I mean, at this point, this other Blood and Crip group, they have been laying low. No one's been messing with them. They haven't been messing with anybody, but they're fed up. They're tired of it because they're seeing natives get away with all these crazy crimes. Now, there are a lot of amazing, amazing native people in our area, and I hate to see them victimized, and there's nothing I can do. It's awful. I've had where they've told us to release DUI people. I'm like, I'm not releasing this guy. Well, I can't take him to jail, so I have to give him a ride or have someone come pick him up. There's a whole lot going on with it. In our area, some people think we're racist because we got rid of it, not realizing some of us are tribal members as well, but we're tired of it. We're tired of people not getting the charges, so we dropped our commission with them, thinking, well, if we drop it, then the officers from that tribe will have to come do it themselves, so when they do it themselves, maybe things will happen, and it hasn't. I had a guy, I got called to an area. This dude is a piece of crap. He's a registered sex offender. He is a violent, aggravated registered sex offender. He's a thief, has done nothing but steal and crazy amounts of meth and all sorts of stuff. Terrible, terrible guy. He's a piece of crap. Family can't stand him. So I would get calls to this area where he would dump stolen vehicles on his cousin's land. So his cousin was getting tired of it. So his cousin calls me one day and says, hey, I think he's done it again. I think he's stolen a truck. There's a truck on the land where her mom's house used to be. I said, okay. So I go out there and lo and behold, he's in the vehicle. So While he's in this vehicle, I know the car's stolen. He doesn't have money for a car, but at the same time, I still have to do my due diligence. So I'm talking with him, and then my partner pulls up. So we start going through the whole shebang. As I tell him to get out of the vehicle, because I know it's stolen at this point, he starts to take off and starts fighting us. In the process, he starts to trip. I tackle him. We start fighting the dude. He's high as a kite. I'm a big dude, and he's throwing me around like a rag doll. I'm fighting him. I'm hitting him. I'm doing everything I can. Yes, we hit people. He had three jackets on. Typical tweaker thing, guys. You never know what you're going to get. So he had three jackets on. He is tweaking balls. He is superhuman strength, and me and my partner are fighting him. We're on top of him, trying to get him in cuffs. We get one cuff on him. Well, then those three jackets come into play. I'm trying to get his hands behind his back to do it. We're tasing him. It's tasing us. We're all getting tased. And the jackets go over the handcuffs. So then now I can't reach the handcuff to put it on the other thing because the jackets are all halfway off in the way. He reached for one of our tasers. At one point, he had one of our tasers. I was able to get it away and throw the taser. If you've never fought someone for 15 minutes, I'll tell you, it's intense. It's intense, especially when he's going to do everything he can to get away. So here we are fighting with this dude for 15 minutes. It got to the point where my partner and I said, we're going to have to shoot him. Because at this point, he is going to get one of our guns because we have exhausted everything we can, and he is still going. Luckily, we didn't have to do that. We were able to put him in cuffs. And then once the fight was over, the fight was over. It's done. So then he starts doing the typical jailitis. I can't go to jail. I can't breathe. I can't do this. I have heart problems. Buddy, the meth you're on does not help your heart problems. So I don't want to hear that shit. So he's native. So Light Horse shows up after we get done fighting him. They're really good at that. There are good officers with that agency. There are amazing people. I love them to death. Some of them are very good friends of mine. But there are a lot of lazy officers that have got away with years and years of doing nothing because McGirt wasn't in effect. So these officers pretty much got to do nothing but troll around the casinos. And now they're having to do way more than what they want to do. And they're pissed off about it. They want to go back to doing nothing. Well, unfortunately, they can't. So they end up taking the guy. I do a report. I file several charges on him. I try to file several charges. Actually, we were crossed with him at this point. So I filed several charges, assault on an officer, two counts of that. He had a felon. He's a felon with a firearm. There's a firearm in there. I'm lucky he didn't shoot at us as I was walking up to the car. It made me realize that I was doing, I approached the car wrong. And you learn from messing up. Long story short, he goes to jail. I file with the nation, and he's out 2 days later. All they filed for was failure to register as a sex offender, and they released him. 2 days later, after they release him, he goes to a town. He steals one of the vehicles in the town that actually works for the town, like a city vehicle. Light Horse calls us and asks for backup. And at this point, my sheriff said, we're done. We're tired of it. We can't keep doing this. So we're not going to come help you and fight this dude. Because if we shoot him, we're going to look bad on it. And this time, this is all the George Floyd stuff. This is all that stuff going on, Portland, all that crap. And you knew you'd be on the news if something happened, and something was going to happen with this guy. This dude's still out, still doing the same shit, stealing, doing dumb stuff. He ended up going to his dad's house, getting a fight with his dad, stealing his dad's stuff, robbing his dad. His dad gets in a vehicle to pursue after him while he's calling 911. His dad was kind of a turd too, but not on this level. So his dad goes out after him and ends up dying because he wrecks chasing his son. His son, no remorse for it, 2 days later, is stealing all the stuff that's left in the house. That's the kind of people we're dealing with that keep getting away with these crimes. He's still out doing stupid stuff, still not registering. Who knows what else he's doing? So it's just, that's what we're dealing with. And that's why the gang violence is amped up to where it's at. And there's a whole lot more to it. It sounds like I'm against the tribe when I'm not. I love people. that are good people no matter what. You know, there's amazing natives in our area. I'm native. There's amazing natives in our area. There's good people. They are amazing people, and it just sucks that people are taking advantage of them knowing they can't get anything done to them. The other day, we had a hunter. He was out hunting. He comes back. Someone's breaking into his car, steals the hunter's gun. Hunter takes off after him, and he turns around and starts shooting at him. He's native. Now, I'm trying to work with the tribe to get charges filed on the dude because as of right now, it's still an investigation. I got to find out who he is, which I'm pretty sure who I know he is. There's a whole thing. I can't really go into too much detail, but I can't get the tribe to help. So I'm going to do all this investigation, and I can't file charges because I'm not crossed with them, and I can't get them to work with me to help get this guy. So it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal all the way around. But again, the McGirt ruling, if never looked it up, you can look it up. It's, in my opinion, it's a bag of dicks. First of all, what we did to natives in the United States was terrible. We made them all go to an area. We told them you would never be a state. You can always be a reservation. And then we said, F that, we're going to make you a state and everything. And it's just a whole thing. So coming from someone that really never dealt with dealing with the FBI and all that, I deal with the FBI all the time now. These agencies, you're like, man, I thought that was only in movies. But no, now I deal with the FBI. I deal with a lot of the federal agencies that have three letters in them. And it's shitty. It really is. But it is what it is. So, you know, we having craziness here. You have that dickhead up in Maine. Luckily, they found him dead because he's a piece of shit. Mass shooters are cowards. And the bad thing is that it takes everybody to go, well, we need to do gun control. And the dude, unfortunately, this dude had a lot of red flags, but nobody did anything. So there are some things I agree with, some gun control, but that means you have to take all guns away or any guns that have this many magazines. That's all bag of dicks. If someone is hearing voices and seeing stuff and doing stuff and the family doesn't turn them in, man, something's up. Either way, dude's dead, piece of shit, don't really care. So in the live the other day, we were talking about FTO phase. Someone asked me what it's like and kind of give them a breakdown of what to expect and, everything. And then there's some people that listen to us and hang out with us that are in the FTO phase. A lot of agencies, the FTO phase, you go through several different officers and you ride with that officer. It's a field training officer. It's the FTO phase because you're riding with him or her, sorry. You ride with them. They're going to tell you how they do things. They're going to show you how to do things. Normally what happens, you ride with them for a little bit. They take lead, and then they make you do everything afterwards. You do everything, how they trained you. Now, some of them train in some outlandish ways, and you're like, man, this is not right. Like, but okay, whatever. The only thing I can say, learn from that officer and do what that officer says and see how they do it. Because some things that you think are stupid and shouldn't be done, when you look back, you go, man, I really learned a lot there. So stay with that officer. Learn what you have to say. Learn. Don't open your mouth and start arguing with them. Don't do any of that. Just shut up. Do what you're told. And then go to your next FTO. Now, your next FTO could be completely different. They could be all sunshine and rainbows and giving babies hugs and handing out teddy bears to meth heads. You never know. I don't know. You never know. The only thing I say, now take what you can from that one, because some things they do, they're doing it right. They're an FTO for a reason. They're not all of it's just years. Sometimes it is just years of service, but they're an FTO for a reason. They earned it. They're doing something right. Now, you might not agree with everything they do, but that's what we're going to get into in a minute. So then learn about handing teddy bears to meth heads, okay? And there's got to be a reason. I don't know, but there's a reason, and learn. Do what they say. Now you have the first officer. You have the experience from the second officer. Now you have a third officer. Do what they do, and so on. And you might have a fourth and blah, blah, blah. Keep following. Do what they say. They might be an old salty dog. They might be a hug a thug. They might be whatever. Do what they train you to do. Do it without arguing and learn. There's a reason. Now, at the very end, once you pass all your FTOs and everything, you become your own officer and they put you on the street and here you go. You're going to go be a crime fighter and you're going to do it all on your own. All I can say is take everything you've learned from all your FTOs and make yourself into your own officer. If you liked what this officer did, but you really weren't big on this, that's fine. Do it your way. Then you like what this one did, but you don't like this. Same thing. Take it, learn from it, and do it. Just continue to do the best you can and be the best you can. And take what these people that have years of experience, take what they show you and make it your own. You know, and then be whoever you want to be. Be all you can be in the okay, sorry. But, yeah. So, that's your FTO phase for the people that ask. Sometimes it can be a year. Sometimes it can be 9 months. Whatever it is, learn. You always hear these people like, wow, a barber has more training than cops do. So, if a barber goes to school longer than a cop, I don't understand. I will tell you this right now. The academy is 16 weeks long in my state. It's 16 weeks of teaching you the bare minimum that you need to learn to get your certification and get out on the road. I have a degree in this. I know a lot more than some of the others, but some people, they take it serious. You don't. You go to the academy, you do the best you can, but if you're not taking it on yourself to learn more every day, that's on you. You're not being the best you can. So you have these people talk about, oh, it's only 16 weeks. It takes longer to be a barber and everything. But I will also tell you this. In the academy, it teaches you enough to get hurt. You can't learn the best way to do things without being there. And nothing's ever going to be the same. You took this dude down with his arm. The next guy, you might not. You never know. You never know what you're going to do, and you're not going to learn that in the classroom. You are going to learn good things in the classroom. You're going to learn about the law. You're going to learn about things that you can do and everything. But it's on you to continue to strive to be the best you can. And that's what I try to explain to people, that FTO is a year after your training of you learning more. And then every year we have to do continuing education, and every year we have to do more training, and then it's on us to do even more training. By state law, we have to do, it's only like 25 hours of regular training and 2 hours of mental health training and everything. This year, I have over 100 something hours. So it's on you. It's on you to learn. If you don't want to learn, this job will eat you up. You have to stay up to date on laws. You have to stay up to date on this and that. And you have to strive to be the best you can. And that's the only thing you can do. If you want to be a detective, you want to be this, you want to be that. You need to start from the very beginning, taking the classes you can take, do what you can, and then learn. I listen to podcasts. I listen to audiobooks. I listen to YouTube shorts. Not shorts, but videos. I'll turn YouTube on and I won't watch it, but I'll listen to it. I want to learn something. Let's learn about sovereign citizens. Listen. Listen to someone talk about sovereign citizens. And listen to both sides. Listen to their arguments. A lot of it's hoopla. But you have to learn to listen to other people and their opinions and their point of view to really just do great in this job. So learn. Do not quit learning. Like I said, as you're out patrolling, you spend a lot of hours in your vehicle. I listen to zombie books. I listen to podcasts. And I listen to things where I can learn. I try to learn something every day. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Some days I'm overwhelmed. You never know. But you have to stay up to date. And you need to learn. Some of the stuff I learn is absolutely useless. But at the same time, now I know it. It might come into contact. You never know. You might come into contact with some dude that's having a mental break, and he wants to talk about the highway system. And just so happens, you learned about the highway system and how highway started out and blah, blah, blah. You never know. Learn something every day. Better yourself every day in some aspect and try to be the best you can. But there you go. That's your FTO phase after the academy. You learn, you learn, you learn, and you never stop learning. Yeah. So we were sitting around the other night at the Halloween house, and we were talking about some of the fun calls that we've been on. It's really a cool job that we do, because it really is a brotherhood that you can't have otherwise. It's fun to be able to just sit there. And then somebody be like, remember when you did that? And I'm like, no, I don't, but I sound like a badass. And the way they tell a story, you're like, yeah, I guess it did happen that way, but I never looked at it like that. But it's just fun. It's fun to sit there and just BS in some of the stories. And one of the ones I had was, I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk about that on the podcast. So what it was, I get called out to a suspicious vehicle on someone's land. So I go to the vehicle. I run the tag. The tag is coming back to a vehicle of a wanted individual out of Arkansas. I said, okie dokie. That's a state over. Let's call them. So I call the detective, get in contact with them, and they are saying pretty much this dude is wanted for several lewd acts on their child. I was like, oh, great, a good individual. As I'm dealing with this, this car is parked right off the highway next to a barn. And this barn, kind of dilapidated and stuff. The people that own the house behind the barn, they're the ones that called, said something's not right, and there's a mean dog. So I get there. There was a mean dog. I already know that I have a... He's threatened suicide. All this other stuff. So I don't know if that's suicide by cop. I don't know if this dude's going to try to shoot me because he doesn't want to go to jail, because these are some pretty shitty charges that are... His name is now going through the mud. So I don't know. So I call for backup. My undersheriff at the time shows up. You know, it took him time to get there and stuff. At this point, we only had one deputy out per shift. But our undersheriff was working at the court, and I was like, hey, something's hinky. I got this dog. This dog won't let me near the barn. He's going ape shit. I can't watch the dog and my back at the same time to make sure this dude's not going to pop out. I'd really appreciate backup. So he gets there. And this is one of the ways that I was younger, a younger officer, newer. And I was learning. So I'm out on the road, I'm doing stuff. And like I said, you learn every day. Well, I learned that if you spray a dog with pepper spray or mace or OC spray, it helps. It does good. If they don't like it, they'll get away from you. So this old officer, he's been doing it a long time. He's a good friend of mine. And we were talking about this at the haunted house. He doesn't like haunted houses. It's funny. He's a good dude. He's the one that also I had the him and his son arguing the other day at work. It was fun. He's a good dude. Some of the shit he says is outlandish, but he sprays the dog. I was like, oh. So then we go around the barn, and on the other side of the barn, there's a man unconscious, still breathing, kind of moaning. His pants are down to his ankles, and I don't know. Then I find a bunch of pills next to him. The dog has now gotten behind him and is in the corner, which is never to have a good corner dog. So we spray the dog a little bit more, which means we spray the dude a little bit, but it don't matter. He's out of it. So I call for EMS. We're dealing with this guy. He's still just incoherent. So we knew he took a lot of pills to kill himself. And he pooped everywhere. Some of the nastiest smelling, just foul, pill-filled, just... Ugh. So here I am, and this dude was not small. He's a big old dude, big dude, covered in poop, in the dirt, in a barn. I got a dog barking. Now there's OC spray. It's a whole bunch going on. So we get EMS there. Then we have to help EMS get the cot to him because he's out of it. And as we're moving him, this stench of just human feces, just bleh. So we're moving this douchebag, putting him on the cot. They get him taken care of. He goes in. He did a lot of damage. I don't believe he died. I believe he caused himself a lot of pain, and I'm sure now he wished he was dead with the pain and the charges. But it was a good deal working with Arkansas, getting this piece of crap caught in jail. So he was taken to the hospital. I don't know exactly from there, but I kind of kept in touch with the detective, and they were saying that he's still alive. He's not doing well, but he's still alive. But, yeah, it was just a fun thing. They were bringing it up, and they were like, remember that time that you got sprayed and covered in human feces of that one dude that was wanted out? I was like, yeah, I forgot all about that. Thank you. Thank you for making me recall the smell of human feces on a fat dude that's got his pants around his ankles in a barn. I guess he wanted one last hoorah before he did the, I don't know. I don't know why, homeboy. Maybe he went to poop and then he fell. I don't know. Either way, it's nasty. Dude was covered in crap and nasty and bleh, nasty. Nasty, dude. Just gross, man. I don't, now we got to talk about something different. That's nasty. That dude's, But I was telling a story to some of the other deputies, and it was kind of funny. I was like, well, it's kind of funny now. I end up telling these stories, and I love making people laugh and telling them like crazy family stories. And I was like, well, I'll talk about that in the podcast. So I write it down. So we'll talk about this in the podcast. I've talked about how my mom is a coupon queen and done all this stuff and all this craziness with coupons and getting free coupons, getting kicked out of the grocery store, all this stuff. Well, for a long time, she was getting KY jelly. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, KY jelly. I don't want to know what she was using it for. I don't think she was using it for anything, but I don't want to think about that. Either way, if it's free, she's going to get it. She does not care. So there's this black lady who was always checking her out, and she would always be like, honey, I do appreciate that jelly, because my mom would always give her some. She's like, oh, that's the good stuff. My mom would go, here, take some. She got it for free. Here you go. I remember my aunt is 10 years older than my mom. I can't remember how old she was this time, maybe 65. I don't know. And my mom gave her some. Gave her some KY jelly. Well, jelly is in the name. And my aunt calls my mom a couple days later and was like, sissy, I don't know what you put that tasteless jelly on, but I put it on toast and it did not taste good at all, sissy. Why did you give me this jelly in this tube? And I was like, this can't be legit happening right now. I think I was 17 at this point, and my mom would always try to give me some. And like try to hand some to my girlfriend. I was like, mom, she's 16. It's working. She don't need that. Like, calm down, Jesus. And then hearing my aunt, I don't think about it. Ugh. But yeah. But some of the things, man. Sissy, this don't taste good on no toast. Why'd you give me that in a tube? Cause that's not what that is used for. Yeah, I listened to that whole conversation and the whole time I'm like, ugh, my mom and aunt talking about KY jelly as I'm listening to this conversation and then my aunt not understanding what the jelly's for and how it's not, not for toast. And then I'm like, I don't want to hear if you tell her what that's for. Please don't open your mouth and tell. Well, sissy, that's used for the cucumber. Man. Yeah. So that was one of the funny stories of my family and the coupons of me and my brother going around trying to get all these damn coupons for everybody. And my mom getting stuff. And KY jelly is what she got. A lot of KY jelly. There's probably, she has a shed full of her free knickknacks from the grocery store. And I bet you I can go out there and there's probably still KY jelly from 2003, 2004, just sitting there, nothing happening to it. But then I don't want to go check. Okay. Cause then if I go check and I look and there is no KY jelly, I'm like, okay. I don't want to think about that either. So it's one of those things. We're just going to pretend the KY jelly is still in that barn. Yeah. Oh, God. There's been a lot of, like, sexual talk in this one. We had a dude that was raping from Arkansas that was wanted, and then we talked about this McGirt dickhead, and now we're talking about KYJ. There's been a lot. This has been a weird conversation. I mean, you're getting raped in FTO phase as well. I mean, it was a whole lot, man. But, yeah, guys, I do appreciate everybody. We've done this for about 40 minutes today. It's been a fun one. It's like these are getting better in my opinion. I don't know if they are for y'all. I try to come up with stuff throughout the week that I can talk about. And if you're in my morning lives, please say, hey, let's talk about this in the podcast this next week. Cause then I'll talk about it and they'll give me something to talk about. And then I can sit there and start thinking about it for the whole week. I don't really want to, I was going to talk more about the main guy, but I really don't want to give that dude any more attention than he deserves. He's a piece of shit. I know I'm not the nicest when it comes to mental health stuff and people say, well, he had mental problems. I don't care when you start killing people or raping people or doing stuff like that. I'm sorry. That goes out the window to me. I know I could be a dick. I don't know. But oh, well, it is what it is, guys. I cannot thank you guys enough. Thank you for the people on Patreon. Thank you so much for the continued support. Pebbles Mommy, Lady Buckeye, Kylie, Connor, Orlesco Outdoors, Tom, I appreciate everybody's support. And everyone that's out there, I appreciate your support. I just got a message from Jill. Thank you, Jill. Guys, I appreciate you guys more than I could ever express to you. Again, you guys are what keep me grounded, keep my mental health in a good place. But yeah, much love, everybody. Please make it a good week. Everybody stay safe. And thank you. Thank you for the continued support. If you can like leave a review, I'd appreciate it because that gets us seen by more people. But either way, guys, much love. Everybody stay safe. And again, thank you all for all the support.